Okay. We cannot be tired. It is only the first day. Okay. You better take a nap during Fiesta Siesta or something so that you can have that energy for this week. All right. Just a reminder, this afternoon I'm going to be out there sitting at the table playing Cowboy Connect 4. So come, challenge me and try to win that bounty. Okay. Come challenge me today at Cowboy Connect 4. If you could turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, that's where we're going to be tonight, or this morning. We're going to be looking at excellent examples in the Bible this week in the mornings. Fortunately, the PowerPoint is not working again, but that is perfectly okay. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. That's after Ezekiel, and it's before Hosea. Daniel chapter 2 is where we're going to be, okay? First of all, we're going to be looking at, for each one of these people, one trait that makes them an excellent example, something about them that we're going to focus on, okay? And so this morning, we're going to focus on the fact that Daniel is an excellent example of prayerfulness, okay? He prioritized prayer in his life. You might have heard of some of the cool stories about Daniel, but we're going to look at today why God was with him, why he was taken care of, and it's really because he was willing to pray, okay? So our definition this morning for prayerfulness is prioritizing prayer to God by talking to him boldly, dependently, and habitually. That means to make a habit of it. So if you're taking notes, if you've got a pen and a paper, you can write that down. Prioritizing prayer to God by talking to him boldly, dependently, and habitually. Okay? We're going to see all of this in Daniel's life. When some crazy things happen, he turns to prayer. So why don't we start with a word of prayer? Let's ask God to give us open hearts to listen to his word this morning, okay? Dear God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word with these young people. Pray that they would be like the good soil, that they would have an open heart, willing to listen, and to look at the life of Daniel and choose to pray just like him. God, we love you, and we want to glorify you with everything we do. I pray this in your name. Amen. Daniel was taken away from his family, and he was held in captivity as a teenager. Do you imagine that happening to you, like a kingdom taking over and them just stripping you from your family, and you don't even know the language too well, you don't know the nation, but they took Daniel and some of his friends just as a young guy, okay? And the king was named Nebuchadnezzar. Not a good king, okay? This king did not serve or believe in the one true God. He was not good at all. But Nebuchadnezzar, he did have Daniel, his friends, and many other people as wise men in his kingdom. Well, one night, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it really troubled him. He had no idea what this dream was about, what it meant. So when he woke up that next day, he said to his wise men, I want you to figure out not only what the dream meant, but I want you to tell me what the dream was. Could you imagine being one of those wise men and being asked to do that? Sometimes I don't even remember my own dreams. You know, like, you can't even remember all the details. And someone else is asking you to tell them what their dream was and what the interpretation was, what it meant. That'd be crazy. It's nuts. And so those guys, those wise men, they said, maybe if you told us the content, maybe if you told us what the dream was, we could tell you what it meant. We couldn't give you what the dream was about. King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't do that. He said, nope, I want you to tell me everything. And they couldn't do it. They had no idea what the dream was or what it meant. So King Nebuchadnezzar got mad. He was furious, and he said, okay, if you can't tell me what the dream was about, you can't tell me what it meant, you're all going to be put to death. All of you are going to die. Again, not a nice guy, not a good king. And all of those wise men, they were scared. They didn't know what to do. Well, again, Daniel and his three friends, they were wise men in the land. And they said, King, if you give us a little bit more time, I think that we could give you the interpretation of the dream. So they asked for more time, and King Nebuchadnezzar gave them a little bit more time. Now, we're going to see what Daniel and his three friends did with that extra time. Okay? In Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, his friends, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So instead of, you know, using that extra time to make a plan to leave or to escape so that they wouldn't be killed, Daniel took his three friends and they said, We need to pray. The one that can give us the answer to the dream is God. And he's the only one that could give us the answer. So they immediately went on their knees and they prayed to God and they asked him what the dream was about. Asked him what the dream meant. And God answered their prayer. It was amazing. God gave them the interpretation to this dream. So they were able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what it was. We don't have enough time to go into what the dream was about. But I want you guys to remember that Daniel, when his life was on the line, he didn't try to make a plan to escape. He went to prayer to God because he recognized that God was the only one that could help he and his friends. So they prayed, they asked God for help, and God answered their prayer. And none of them died. None of them were put to death because Nebuchadnezzar said, Wow, your God must be real. Your God was the one that was able to help give you that interpretation. It's amazing. Well, many, many, many years later, okay, so that was when Daniel was very young, but many years later when he was old, there was another kingdom in charge. They took over Babylon, and the king's name was Darius. Now, Daniel had a good relationship with Darius. Darius promoted him to be one of the highest officers in all of the kingdom. There was other officers in his kingdom that were jealous of Daniel and his position. They were jealous of the relationship that he had with King Darius. So they thought to themselves, "We need to do something to get Daniel in trouble. We need to find out something that he does that we can pin that against him so that we can get rid of Daniel." And so they observed every little detail about Daniel's life. They followed him. They tried to find something that he did wrong. But they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything that Daniel was doing wrong. The only thing that they noticed was that Daniel, every single day, he prayed. He prayed open to God like he did ever since he was younger. So they thought to themselves, what could we do with this? He prays every day, and they developed a plan, a trick against King Darius. They went to King Darius and they said, Oh, great, King Darius, you're amazing, you're awesome, you're the best in the whole world. And because you're so amazing, I think that you should make a law saying, for 30 days, no one can worship or pray to anybody, any other god, except for you. They can only worship you for 30 days. And King Darius, he's like, well, I am pretty great. I'm awesome. So yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm going to make that a law. But when he signed that law, there was no going back. Not even himself. He could not even change that law in the future. Well, Daniel, he heard about this law, and we see what he did. What his response was to knowing that he was going to die, that he was going to be put to death if he worshipped anyone except for King Darius. We see this in Daniel chapter 6. So if you could turn over a few pages to Daniel chapter 6, we find it in verse 10. Exactly what Daniel does. Okay, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." It's amazing. Daniel knew that the law had been signed. He knew the punishment for if he prayed to his God. But even knowing that, he boldly, with the windows wide open, he prayed. And he did that just like he did when he was younger. Now, many of us, I think if we were in that position, we might be tempted to get around it or to try to make an excuse to not pray. Maybe you would say, well, I mean, it's a life or death situation here. I mean, if I do it, I'm going to die. So I could go 30 days without praying. I think many of us might think that. Or maybe, well, maybe I'll still pray, but I don't need to have the windows open. I mean, let's close those windows. Let's try to do it in secret so nobody will see me. So nobody will be able to figure out that I'm praying. But not Daniel. Daniel, he kept those windows open, and he boldly prayed to God because he knew that that was right, and he trusted God to take care of him. Well, those officers that wanted to get him into trouble, they, sure enough, they saw him praying with those windows open. So they took him to King Darius, and they said, "Oh, King Darius, Daniel broke your law. We found Daniel praying and worshiping his God instead of you." And this hurt King Darius. King Darius was like, "Oh no, Daniel, my friend." He was so distraught, so sad, because he knew that he couldn't change the law. He knew that there was nothing that he could do to save Daniel. Daniel was going to receive his punishment. And that punishment was to be thrown into a den full of lions. These lions were not lions that were very nice. They were not fed very well. They were hungry, okay? And Daniel was then cast into that lion's den. But many of you guys might know the story. Those lions, they didn't even touch Daniel. They didn't hurt Daniel. Many of those lions probably, they would normally eat the people that were thrown in immediately, but they didn't even go near Daniel or hurt him in any way because God protected Daniel in that lion's den. Daniel prayed, and he was dependent on God. He knew that God would take care of him no matter what, and that's why he still was willing to pray even though his life was on the line. He might have been a little bit scared. He might not have known what was going to happen, but he knew that God was in control. And so Daniel, he prayed when he was younger. He made a habit out of that. He prayed with his friends, and we see later on in his life, he prayed boldly, and he prayed dependently on God. And so let's take a look at that definition once again. That definition of prayerfulness, prioritizing prayer to God by talking to him boldly, dependently, and habitually. I want you to think about if you have that trait like Daniel. Do you have prayerfulness? Do you prioritize prayer? Do you pray to God boldly? Do you pray to God depending on him to take care of you? Do you pray with a habit? Is it something that you do every single day where you go to God and you spend time in prayer? Well, let's look at a few applications, things that you can do to change, and things that you can pray better, okay? So number one, if that's not something that you do, maybe you don't have a habit of praying, or maybe you just pray before meals or before you go to bed, I would encourage you, start praying. It's our way that we can access God. We can talk to him. It's so cool. The God of the universe, the one that created everything, the one that's in charge and in control, we can talk to him. It's awesome. So start praying, okay? And then number two, pick a time and a place to pray every day. If you want to make a habit, just like Daniel did, pick a time. Maybe you say, okay, every time when I get up in the morning, I'm going to spend some time praying to God. And pick a place to do that. Maybe if it's at your home, just right in your bedroom or at a desk or somewhere. Think of a place and a time. And you say, I'm going to spend time talking to God. Okay, and number three, trust that God will answer your prayers according to his plan. Sometimes we think, God, I know that you need to do this. I know that this is the right thing. But we don't know everything. We make mistakes. We don't know the future. God has a perfect plan. He knows everything that's supposed to happen. So we need to trust that God will answer our prayers according to his plan, not ours. Some of the time, he will answer and he'll say yes. Sometimes he'll say, no, I have a different plan for you. And you should trust that what God does is the right decision. He's got a perfect plan. So start praying. Form a habit of praying by picking a time and picking a place to do that. And then trust that God will answer according to his plan. So let's be like Daniel, okay? Let's follow his excellent example of praying. And let's make that habit in our life. Praying to God boldly, like he did, dependently, and making that a habit, okay? Let's go to God in prayer to close. Dear God, I thank you so much for giving us the example of Daniel and the fact that multiple times his life was at risk, but he chose to still talk to you and pray to you because he knew that you would take care of him. God, I pray for these boys and girls that if that's not a habit that they have in their life, that they would choose to make prayer a priority and that they would choose to pray to you boldly and dependently in their life. God, please help them with this and help all of us to pray to you and go to you when we need help. God, we love you. We seek to glorify you with everything we do. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, thank you for listening very closely. The next thing on the schedule is going to be your cabin devotions with your counselors. So counselors, if you have your booklets, great. If you don't, we probably have them in the back.